Stop and think about it. Being human is just of nature, either from human interaction with nature or nature interacting with nature. That's very, very cool, very, very heartwarming. Jill Horn posted, posted on Facebook the other day. I think they were manta rays. They were either stingrays or manta rays. They're that really interesting. They almost look like a UFO. They've got that. They've got their triangulated flappers, and they just they look like a UFO. And they were jumping out of the water, anywhere from 10 to 15 feet, and then they were dropping, like doing a belly flop. And the commentators were mentioning that that they were making a boom, and the assumption that they were making is that this was a mating activity. And we have to be careful about observation, because observation oftentimes, yes, it lets us see something, but the meaning or the purpose of it oftentimes is completely different from what we assume. A plus B equals C, which is the scientific methodology, doesn't work very well with certain things. And one of the things that it doesn't work very well is observing nature and what's involved in that kind of stuff. And I happen to be a fan of nature. I just absolutely love it when I go out and I see a bird or a chipmunk or a squirrel, or a snake or a lizard. To me, it's like, how cool is it? You know, I might see a grasshopper and that type of thing. And I think that it, I think that it's pretty cool. And one of the good news, one of the good news is that we are going to get it back to living humanly according to the design. That's part of the role that I play. I am literally knowing what it is. I have literally worked at Learn, Teach, Be, Know, Do, Become, Actualize, Demonstrate, Develop, Share, personally, relationally, socially, globally, universally, what it is to be a human being that knows, shares, and ascends. Because when you think about it, there's simply being what is real, knowing what is true, sharing them, and that, those three things, it's being, knowing, and sharing that ascends. And ascension in its truest level or its ultimate level is taking the body with. And there are very, very few people on the planet right now that are in a position to ascend, taking their body with them. And the reason why is because there are not NEEKs in print, there are not teachings. Oh yes, people talk about ascension, but they don't talk about what it involves. And that's the only thing that evolves, the only thing that evolves, the only thing that involves, the only thing that evolves beyond the point of reference where we find ourselves as ego body is service polarity. In one sense, there's knowing the self, serving others, and aspiring to collectively ascend. And collective ascension is how the universe, from a perspective of infinity, unifies itself into a single state of being. So I see we have a caller that's from the Sacramento area, which is pretty cool. And if the individual would like to call in, just press 1, and that'll give me a flag. Because the way that the phone call is in the queue is that it's a listening call, and it's not necessarily a conversation call. And this is a listener-friendly show. As far as I'm concerned, everything is relevant, everything is possible, and from the perspective of a given person is at is absolutely perfect from where the perspective from where the perspective of the individual is. So if 916 you want to call in and talk, share, or ask a question, just press 1 and I'll bring you onto the show and we can have a little dialogue, because I get tired of the sound of my voice after about 30 seconds. I used to be fairly long-winded. It's people who are familiar with my show. It used to be 2 hours, and now it's a half hour because it's the only window of opportunity I have, and it actually works really well. I like the fact that I am listening more and saying less. And the nice thing about Mount Shasta is about once every 10 days, to 2 weeks, I meet someone where I have a spiritual conversation. Other than that, I just talk about things from the perspective of the job, from the perspective of music, and that kind of things. I have a nice little social life here in Mount Shasta. I'm doing pretty much every day. I work 4 days a week, and then I do music on. I host a show on Wednesdays. I play live music on Thursdays. This Saturday, I have an hour and a half performance. I have a performance coming up on the 20th. I have a rehearsal tonight, and the hope is that at some point in time, I meet she who is me. In the meantime, I'll just enjoy myself as much as possible. But it is nice being in a place to where people like the music that I play. They like who I am, what I'm involved with, and all that kind of good stuff. And going back to an earlier perspective is life is a very, very curious thing because one of the techniques that I've been working on, there are three veils that come with the territory of being. One is the veil of access to God. Two is the veil of confusion. It's also called the law of free will. And then there's the veil of forgetfulness, where the soul forgets that it's a soul and a person lives according to the ego-body dynamic, which is basically giving specificness to. And the interesting thing about specificness is the mind is a state of specificness. The soul is a state of specificness. The body is a state of specificness. And the spirit is a state of specificness as they correspond to will of light and consciousness, or we could think of it as they pertain there, the specificness of God, the specificness of love, the specificness of light, the specificness of infinity or the universe. It is interesting to me that oftentimes people don't take enough into consideration about who they are, what they are, why they're here, where they're going, and so on. Two of the things that we get to participate with are issues that act as catalysts that we get from the mother, and talents that we get to develop that we get from dad. And what we do in the context of our lives is we resolve our issues, we develop our talents, so we have something to contribute. And the complement to that is developing a spirituality that is unique, that corresponds, that is evolved with what spirituality is. Spirituality can be thought of as that which is the life of the spirit, literally brings to life everything that is the basis for life as we know it, life as we see it, and it is also the basis for that which is brought to life as a type of experience, as it corresponds to positive and negative energy, of which we do not do a very good job with. Because we are not taking into consideration why the dynamic is necessary. And it's not difficult at times to understand, because oftentimes we see one thing and we miss the point about everything else. If we take a 24-hour period of time, from our perspective, half of the time it's light and half of the time it's dark. That lets us know that there's positive and negative energy. And it doesn't do the person very much service when they decide to deny half of what makes energy what it is. The service polarity that develops out of positive and negative energy is called the right and left hands of God. The left hand of God is negative service polarity. The right hand of God is positive service polarity. And everybody is developing into that unless they choose not to. And there aren't very many people on the surface of this planet that are truly service polarized out of 7 billion people. I think right now it's less than one. I think it's 7/10 of 1%, if that. So one of the nice things is that the universe, life, and everything else lends itself to the discipline and the development of the individual. Edgar Cayce was of the opinion that meditation was so important that Volume 1, Chapter 1 is meditation, The last chapter of volume two is meditation. So from Edgar Cayce's perspective, it begins and ends with meditation. And there are a lot of people that are not practicing with a guru or a monk or a teacher, a spiritual teacher, that more often than not, meditation isn't considered important. But there are certain things like opening the mind to the realness of God, doing conscious out-of-body experiences, opening the doors of the seventh chakra to intelligent infinity, require meditation. Meditation is the ability to basically stop the five senses of being on automatic pilot and simply going within to see what's there as it makes the life of the human being. The one cool thing about infinity is that infinity means variable and variety of that which remains constant. And what that means is that you never have repetition. You never have instant replay. No two things are the same. There's nothing repeats itself within the context of life as we know it. And so what that tells us is that if we are going to be in touch with or in tune with infinity, from the perspective of development, it means no two people are going to be involved in life in exactly the same way. And that is a real interesting truth, because if you simply take Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, and the New Age, approximately 5.5 billion people are involved with those five systems theories. And what happens is that if two people are trying to live according to the same truth, it becomes antithetical and oxymoronic more than anything else. The idea of living uniquely, the idea of living infinitely is that your life is going to differ from everything else, from everyone else. And it's not meant for us to basically try to normalize ourselves, because there's no such thing as normal. And that's one of the difficulties with the medical profession, is the medical profession has this blanket. I'll use diabetes as an example. The number, a good number within the context of diabetes, when you do your reading before you take your insulation, is approximately 80 to 120, 100 being the norm. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that to put every single human being into that process or guideline misses the point, because some people are going to have lower than that, some people are going to be higher than that, and science is going to say, okay, well, if you're higher than that, this is what I have to do, this is what I have to do, this is what I have to do. So we have to be careful when we rely on things that are outer-based, because one of the curiosities that I find of being here in Mount Shasta is that purple is a real big thing. There's the violet flame that Saint Germain has, that Saint Germain is involved with, but what I find is that colors do not have an affectation within the context of the life of the people, because when light goes from white light to diversified color, it's simply showing representation according to time and space, and so you are going to have representation of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, which is showing light existing as a three-dimensional time and space state that is more an illusion, because the only existence of light as it is white light. It's the same thing with love. Love has a state that it remains as forever. Light has a state. Will of light and consciousness have states that they exist as forever, and then you have variable and variety that comes into place. If we look at the universe, there's all kinds of things, from galaxies to suns to planets to moons and all kinds of stuff in between. On the surface of the planet, there's approximately 10 million species on the planet. And the interesting thing is that within the context of all of these different species, they all have infinity within the context of the species, which means you're never going to get two ants that are the same, no two blades of grass, no two snowflakes, and trillions of snowflakes have fallen on the surface of this planet. No two grains of sand. There are trillions of grains of sand on the surface of this planet that no two are identical, and there will never come a point of time in which there are identical states of representation. The only thing that's going on is you have the realness that has a truth, and truth defines what is into a realness that is ongoing as a state of consciousness from the point of mind that physicalizes itself, the projected objectification that the spirit brings to life, that the soul becomes conscious of. That's the process of creation. You have the will to be and to know. It becomes a representation that the spirit brings to life, that the soul becomes conscious of. The universe becomes conscious of itself by incarnating into a given life form. The mind gives rise to it. So the mind can be thought of as that. That is the matrix that gives rise to a potential that through catalyst becomes an experience that the life form has the ability to ponder its existence as it is. And more often than not, if I'm a parent, if I'm a spouse, if I am an employee, that leaves no time for simply desire, experience, and then pondering what the experience is to see if it makes sense, to see if it's worthwhile. It's like in one sense all we're doing is we're fine-tuning our process so that there's a certain degree of conduciveness, a certain degree of consistency, a certain degree of contentment, a certain degree of comfortability, a certain degree of contribution, and so on. And it's a work of progress. It's like we come into and we exit out of. We come into the life of and then we exit out of the life of, and we do this on many levels. Just take the point of experience, and experience begins and an experience ends, and then we have the opportunity to reflect on what did we like, what did we like, what worked, what didn't work, do we want more of it, do we want it to end, and so on. One of the useful things within the context of our life are vision boards. For me, my life is meditation, written and read books, music, and vision boards. And that's my primary focus. And the thing is that the interest and the likes and the dislikes are going to differ from person to person to person. So part of the work that we do is we simply allow, accept, acknowledge, appreciate, approve, even-mindedly, the lives of others. Because everybody is here for exactly the reason that he or she is, and having an attitude about the life of others is meaningless. And yes, I know that from the protocol of the Old Testament, there's fear, judgment, and persecution on a continual basis of humanness as it was created and brought to life to exist as. Part of the process that we are involved with, part of the process that we are going to get back to, is we are going to get to that point in which the invader culture mindset, with its emphasis on hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, war, greed, class distinction, or conquering, enslaving, and destroying, is going to become extinct. It is one of the reasons why we are told, and we have been told for thousands of years, that there is going to be an ending of the world. The planet is not going to end. It is that which is no longer conducive or in sync with the reality according to that which is positive, conducive, consistent, and ongoing. And this is something that people aren't aware of, and they're not taking into consideration those things that lend themselves to the planet, to each other, to the universe, and God. Because when you stop and think about it, all you have is God and universe, divinity and deity, creator, that which brought us to life. And then you have will, consciousness, love, life, positive and negative, from our perspective, which is masculine and feminine, on a personal level, male and female as a relationship. And then you have ego, body. Within the context of the masculine and feminine, there's that which you feel, sense, think, and envision from the perspective of ego body that's living by faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, karma, and in my case, meditation, written and read books, and vision boards. Part of the work that we do is simply getting in touch with that which gives us a sense of meaning, value, function, and purpose, and then interacting with others from that perspective with hopefully not too much attitude, without too much drama, without too much stuff. And a lot of times it's not easy. Anyway, I'd like to thank 916 for listening to the show. I'd like to thank guest 777. And if it's ints, thanks for listening to the show. And I just say it as I see it, as I am it, and as it is, and all that kind of good stuff. And I know that there's going to come a point in time in which humanity is given an opportunity to listen to the sound of my voice more than just one or two people every once a week and that kind of stuff. And the raw material says, if you have assisted one, you have assessed, I've assisted the entire creation, counting up the numbers. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap, and we will do it again in 2 weeks. Thank you very much, and y'all have a good day, and keep smiling, because y'all got nice.